This conference is being recorded.
So welcome to the Heart Start to Your Year.
Yeah. One yet.
Yeah, we're in a countdown to 2008 for those who are listening live. It is January 31st. And some people who are on the call may already be in the new year. I know my dear friend Robert, who's in France, has been well into 2008, and he sent me a text message saying that it looks pretty good and he'll meet me over there. Go pick it out for us, and it sounds good so far. Yeah. For those who are listening to this as a recording, well, the truth is that we use these human-defined markers of time as a chance for introspection and retrospection and visioning, and it's very useful, because growth happens in a spiral, to pause in that circular movement, that cyclical process, and look at our journey and see where we've been and see where we're going. And yet the truth of the heart of our being is omnipresent and not journeying in any direction whatsoever. And so it's easy to take these human-defined qualities and beat ourselves up with them. As I'm sensing some of you who joined us tonight, we're doing, having talked to you before we started the recording function. So wherever you are in time and space, whether you're here with us at the turn of a new year or whether it's just the turn of a new moment in your life listening to this as a recording, the heart is always right here in the moment, available to love this moment for what it is. And it can really rob us of our joy and our heart when we start using markers of time to be harsh towards ourselves for what we have or haven't accomplished, or compare ourselves to what we've done in the past or to what other people are doing. And all of the resolutions and goals that get made and broken, and it's easy to feel any number of emotions at this time of year. And so for those who are new to Heart Start Calls, this is something we do every Monday, not just on New Year's Eve, from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time, a little oasis of positivity, as one of our clients called that we can. And for those who are listening for the first time, you can press *6. And that will mute any background noise on your phone out, so it won't disturb you. Then we will open up the call for questions or any stories of your own that you want to share at a certain point. And then you can just press again, and that will unmute you so you can be heard. So Fiera is the name of the company that I am the CEO of. My name is Sheva, and Fiera is a word that we invented here to describe that great feeling that you get when your arms fly up over your head and a yes to life flies out of your mouth. And it turns out that that great, amazing feeling, a feeling, by the way, that's really what I think all of us are after when we set goals or resolutions for the new year, it's really that we want to experience that great feeling in our own hearts. And we think that the goals we set or the resolutions we make in achieving those, that somehow we'll experience Fiera. But research from an institute in Northern California called HeartMath has really laid out in a thorough way the physiology of what it is to feel great, and the fact that it's not actually dependent upon accomplishing a goal or sticking to a resolution or having what we want to have or getting the next best thing or the next boyfriend or the bank account or the girlfriend or it's really internally sourced from heart rhythms. And similarly, when we feel great, that impacts heart rhythms. So you can get on this upward spiral of joy and fulfillment that enhances your performance, enhances your health, and your ability to impact the world so that you start getting positive feedback from the world, which further enhances your joy. But never is your fulfillment, your peace, your health, your well-being dependent upon what happens outside of you. That in fact, the heart, which in the yogic tradition is the anahata chakra, which means that which beats itself, meaning like a drum that's self-beating, self-initiating, self-sustaining, the heart being the first organ to form in the fetus, initiates its own impulse long before the brain ever takes shape and can continue beating without interception from the brain. So we call these calls Monday night the heart start call because the heart is a place to always get a fresh start. And here we are at the start of a new year, allowing and accessing the heart's intelligence for a fresh start, which is unencumbered by our perceptions of entrenched images of who we think we are or our perceptions of past failures. And out of that, the heart has the power and potential to remove our resignation to what's possible in our lives. And in removing that resignation, to guiding us like a GPS, literally a brain has been discovered in the heart, which when you learn how to listen to the intelligence and guidance system that's there, is programmed to guide you to your ultimate fulfillment and maximum potential in your health, in your relationships, in your performance, in your careers, in your, above all, in your own internal growth, your self-love and your love for others. And so the heart and its intelligence has always the bigger picture in mind and much more latitude than sometimes our personalities do on where we are in the development of our goals and our dreams. You know, one of the statistics that I put in the invitation for tonight's call is the fact that 50% of businesses, which, you know, most people who start businesses, they have this dream, this vision, this passion. 50% of businesses fail within the first year, and within the first 5 years, 95% of businesses have failed. Now, I always assumed that that was because those businesses went bankrupt. And recently I found out that's not true. Rare is it that the business is closed for lack of money. They close because of emotional bankruptcy. They close because the owners of the businesses give up hope. They close because of stress. And stress is really the antithesis, the opposite of fiera. It's the biggest obstacle to the majority of people experiencing fiera on a regular basis. That great feeling inside where you're on your purpose and you're doing exactly what you came here to do and with who. And the truth is most of us are living that, but we don't always see it. Because stress impacts every aspect of our physiology, every aspect of our experience. It causes the brain to shut down in a particular way, so it distorts our perceptions. And someone that we may be absolutely in love with looks menacing or boring when we're stressed. And because of the way the brain shuts down under stress, and the heart becomes chaotic and erratic. It's impossible to see the bigger picture or see solutions to problems or be open to possibilities that seem miraculous to a brain that's fixated on its mere survival. And so business owners get so caught in the details that they lose the forest for the trees and they give up hope for their bigger vision. Because it takes a certain type of tenacity to hold a vision for something unmanifest, like a dream or a business. To hold that vision in your heart, even when everything external looks like it's indicating it can't happen. So at this start in the heart of a new year, I would like all of you to just take a moment and imagine, what if the Wright brothers had given up their vision? What if Alexander Graham Bell had given up his vision? Then we wouldn't even be having this conversation right now. What if Thomas Edison had given up his vision? So many people thought all of those inventors were crazy. And they experienced failure after failure after failure. I forget exactly how many failures Thomas Edison had in something to discover how to create a light bulb. Something like 799 or something, 770-something. And a newspaper reporter walked up to Thomas Edison and said, "So how does it feel having 770-whatever failures under your belt?" And Thomas Edison replied, "I don't know 770-whatever failures. I learned 779 ways not to make a light bulb." Well, the heart, you see, it's the brain gets frustrated. The looping survival brain that wants instant gratification, like food or sex, that's part of the mid-mammalian, great part of our brain. It's really not a problem in any way, except when it hijacks our direct perception of what's happening right now in the heart of the moment, hijacking the creative and innovative and problem-solving centers of our brain in its drive to survive and have immediate gratification and avoidance of pain. And so if Thomas Edison had been hijacked by his survival brain on the 600th failure, this is never going to work. We wouldn't have light bulbs. But something in him held his vision against all evidence to the contrary. And I'd be inclined to say that the thing in him that sourced that degree of tenacity was related to his heart. It's why we have sayings in our language like, put your whole heart into it. Even if we just look at the basic science, your heart produces enough power in 1 hour to lift 2,000 pounds 3 feet off the ground. In other words, in 1 hour and 15 minutes, my heart, which is about, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 inches in diameter, right? You can hold your fist up and that's about the size of your physical heart. My heart could lift my Toyota Prius. My arms can't do that. There's no mechanical engineer that's been able to replicate the efficiency of the human heart. It puts out far more energy than it takes in. Just inventors that held on to their dreams. So the average heart beats 110,000 times a day. That's 40 million times a year. I feel like Carl Sagan here. Billions and billions. I'm dating myself for those who don't know who Carl Sagan is. 3.5 billion times in an average lifetime the heart beats without ever stopping for a coffee break or a cigarette break. Without ever saying, I'm sick of this, I need a vacation, I'm going to Maui. It never stops its tenacity. It's always right there, beating, pulsing, care and nutrition to all of the cells in your body without ever stopping. So you want stamina, you want tenacity, you want the power to see something through, the intelligence in the heart has something for you, where tenacity and stick-to-itiveness and resilience is concerned. 3.5 billion times in a lifetime. And the heart never, as one of my first music teachers when I was an actress at Carnegie Mellon, Victoria Santa Cruz, she teacher because she brought us to the heart of our craft. We were in acting school at the time, and she used to say to us in this thick Peruvian accent, hey guy, the heart never stops to say, I did it. She was taking away our vanity and our ego about ourselves, which empowered us to experiment and play and try new things and get up when they didn't work and go after them again. The heart knows how to do that because it never looks at the last five beats, or if it skips a beat, it doesn't turn around and go, oops, I'm a screw-up. Now I just may as well give up. It doesn't do that. So HeartMath has developed very practical tools, step-by-step tools, which we teach in our beginner workshops, that allow you to go in and access the intelligence, the unique intelligence that's in the heart, and help facilitate that intelligence to facilitate brain centers. When we're in a state of stress, the heart becomes erratic. The intelligence that's there, this intelligence, this remarkable intelligence, has a key to tenacity and to perseverance and to getting up when we fall down. It's scrambled. And the higher brain centers shut down. Now, why would we do that? It's actually part of our brilliance that we do. Because when we're in a literal survival threat, we can't afford to tough it out. You see, giving up is part of our survival intelligence. If you know you're in a battle that you're going to lose, and losing means dying, giving up is a good idea. But what if what you're wrestling is not an alligator, but a vision and a dream for your contribution to the world? Then that survival physiology that kicks in and shuts down your problem-solving brain and sends the heart into erratic frustration, causing you to give up and deflate, isn't helpful, isn't meaningful, isn't useful. It's just old survival, antiquated software. What if what you're wrestling with isn't an alligator, but it's the electric light bulb? Well, then you need your heart intelligence to help you problem solve and innovate and recreate. And HeartMath has cultivated this extremely powerful and yet so simple that a 5 to 95-year-old can learn it set of tools people can use to bring order to the heart rhythm, generate that feeling we call Fiera, and make a fresh start in every new now. Ha, clean slate, fresh start, new year, new moment. To tap that intelligence that's in the heart. So many times when I've been at my absolute wit's end and really wanted to give up, whether it was acupuncture school when I failed my state board exam the first time, Victorian in my class, because I was so stressed about the exam that my higher brain shut down. And often I was blank, I couldn't do the exam. And I felt hopeless and like a failure and wanted to give up. And then my heart, because I had already learned heart math at that point, I was doing a tool we teach in the beginner workshop called the heart lock-in. And my heart guided me to something it called the rocking chair test. It had me picture myself at 90 years old sitting on a porch in a rocking chair. So maybe at this moment, the close of a cycle, the end of a year, give yourself a moment to step into the rocking chair test. So my heart had me imagine that I was 90 years old sitting in a rocking chair and looking back on my life. How did the choice to give up getting my acupuncture license pan out? How did it feel? And I sat there imagining that rocking chair test and being keenly aware of all the people I could have helped, but I didn't because my own ego reaction got in the way. So I really was going to give up. I wasn't going to take the exam again. I was going to forego the whole experience. But that one moment when my heart had me look back on a life where that choice was made completely changed the choices I made. So my heart instructed me to stand up and take the exam again, only this time to do it differently. This time to do it not to prove how smart I was, right? The heart never stands up and says, okay, look how great I did. I did that. I don't have to do the next 5 beats. I get a break because I did the last 5 so beautifully, didn't I? Throwing its arms up in the air like an Olympic athlete or Olympic gymnast. Ta-da! So don't do it for that reason. It's not about you. Do it for the people that will benefit from what you have to give. So don't study your butt off, and don't study your brain into oblivion. My heart guided me every step of the way how to proceed in ways that were contrary to what I thought would be required to pass the exam. Told me not to study. Told me instead to call my friends and tell them I was taking the exam and when, and have them teach them how to use heart math to send me energetic support through the heart. We know that the heart's influence, even in a just normal modern science, if you go get an EKG at a hospital, they'll ask the med techs to leave the room because they don't want their heart rhythm influencing the read. Because we know the electromagnetic field of the heart in an average person extends 8 feet beyond the body. So that's not even woo science, that's accepted science. So my heart guided me to get that energetic electromagnetic support from my friends. And if you've just recently joined the call, I'm going to ask you to *6 your phone because we're getting some background noise from someone who's moving around a bit, which is, I love for you guys to just enjoy these calls in any way you want, but it's good if you *6 so that the sound doesn't affect other people listening. Thank you so much. So heart intelligence approaches things in an innovative way and gives us a way to realize our dreams and our visions that are outside of the box. So we know that, you know, they talked about how Einstein more of his brain than most of us do. Well, when the heart is in an ordered pattern that gets generated and can actually be measured, by the way, through a technology called the M-wave, so generated from this Fiera feeling. Ordered pattern of the heart. Then opens up those higher centers of the brain and allows us to see outside of the box. So Einstein, I forget exactly the quote, but essentially that we can't solve modern human problems from the same point of thinking that created them. Well, the heart's code, which the heart math tools allow us to access, and again that we teach in our beginner webinars, allows us to access that other type of thinking outside of the box. So that's what happened to me exactly when I took this exam. My heart had me call mentors to get their support because it pointed out that I was sabotaging the exam because I was afraid as a doctor that I might hurt someone. So it had me call mentors to work with and apprentice under once I did get my license so that I would still feel like I had guidance and like I could trust myself and I wouldn't cause anyone harm. It showed me nonlinear things to do that caused me to get the highest mark on that exam the second time I took it when I failed the first time. And I didn't open a book to study. So there's a tool called Perception Shift and Freeze Frame that we teach in the Beginner Workshop, which allows you access to that intelligence. But tonight, we're going to tap into that for your new year. This heart start that gives you a fresh start, a fresh look, a new way of seeing things, a new way of approaching old problems or visions and dreams that you've left behind. And so that's where I want to now turn in our heart start call. You in your rocking chair test. Where have you resigned in life? What have you decided, just assumed, is impossible? What dreams or visions or goals for yourself or for our world have you given up on and turned to complacence instead? For a long time, I felt that way about the environment. It was so big and so out of control that there was nothing I could do about it. For a long time, I felt that way about my appearance and my image, that I was a nerd and not sexy and ugly and just that was the way it was and I would never be beautiful with cellulite on the backs of my legs and a belly that stuck out and frizzy hair. And I resigned. I just assumed that's how life was. And while those things may seem superficial, the truth, if I tell the truth, is that that was an underlying source of stress for me that robbed me of joy and robbed me of quality of life. And when I really went to my heart, it didn't see it that way at all. It wasn't attached to my identity for my survival. You see, even negative identities that we have about ourselves or our world, we get attached to because it's familiar. And familiarity seems safe. And so in our survival-driven physiology, we hold on to that. Where are you holding on to identities that are holding you back? Do you really need them? Or is that just your survival brain hungering for an arbitrary sense of safety that's robbing you of the heart of the quality of life you could have. For a long time, I also resigned about 30,000 children dying each day of starvation. Many of you listening to the call may have heard my story that I worked with street children in a war zone in Nicaragua when I was a teenager. And I came down there with a gusto of passion and purpose, and I was going to make a difference in the world. I was going to make a difference in these kids' lives. And after a year of being exposed to attempted rapes and kidnappings at gunpoint and holding children in my arms while they died of unnecessary things like skin infections because we had no antibiotics, I gave up. I lost heart. That's what we say when we gave up. Isn't that interesting? I lost heart. Well, you can find your heart again. It's not an archaeological dig. It's as close as shifting your attention to the area around your heart. And let's just do that together right now. Focusing your attention on the area around the heart. And allowing the breath to come in evenly. If it helps you, you can count to 5 or 6, breathing in for 5 through the heart and breathing out for the same length of time through the heart. So the idea here is you maintain the focus of your attention on the area around your heart while you allow the breath to come in and out. And while you're doing that, I'd like you to invite awareness of one thing in your life or one thing in the world that maybe you resigned about. That turned around. My resignation about the children in our world who die each day of starvation and the devastation, the giving up, the loss of heart that I experienced when I came back from the war zone when I was 19 after seeing street children dying unnecessarily was the thing that led me to find HeartMath and the tools that I teach. And in finding that, in finding the heart, discovering, wow, even in our despair, there's an intelligence to it. Even through our despair, our heart is leveraging that as guidance for our growth and our contribution. So if you can't even think of one thing in your life that's turned around, then you could appreciate your despair itself, your resignation itself, because that's brought you here to this call. And just breathe in through the heart and out through the heart. Learning how to transform my stress, my despair, my resignation about the heinous things going on in our world into love and passion and compassion. You can always find compassion for yourself, for others. Created a miracle in my life, and that on the bridge of that love, the children I worked with in Nicaragua came and found me again after 12 years and showed me that I had not failed where I thought I failed. That in fact, every ounce of loving intent that we ever put out by the laws of physics is never wasted. Every moment of passion, every moment of compassion that you experience has impact. And so these children came and found me again and proved that to me. That the small amount of love I had given them for a short period of time when they were 9, 10, 11 years old completely changed the outcome of their lives. So So similarly, the featured story and the invitation I sent to you today. So often when we think we're failing, from the heart's point of view, we're sailing. When you look at things from the bigger picture, every time an infant falls, they're learning where their balance is that way. They're strengthening the muscles to walk. So it is with us, and if we give up and we miss living and leading and unfolding what we call at Fiera and at HeartMath, your fulfillment blueprint or your heart's blueprint, just as an acorn contains within it all the information to become an oak tree. Your heart, being the first organ to form in the fetus, contains within it a code for the evolution of your full potential in every area of your life. The seed in an acorn's case is watered and nurtured by soil and sunlight and air and water. The heart's code, your fulfillment blueprint, is nurtured by loving feelings, by care for yourself and others. That creates this ordered pattern in the heart, opening up its intelligence, creating a clear channel or a tuned wire for its intelligence to travel through every cell of your body and your actions and to your brain and your thoughts and your ideas. And stress and despair and resignation and hopelessness create static in the heart signal. So we remain like an acorn that fell short onto the cement, fell short of the soil, never having the resources to fully grow to its full potential. Faith, trust, hope. These Fiera feelings, heartfelt feelings, feed and nurture and cultivate that seed, tenacity, integrity. So Bonnie St. John, who we featured in the story and the invitation for tonight's call, is one of my dearest friends and a woman that is a great inspiration to me because of her tenacity of heart, her ability to hold a vision and access the power of her heart to see that vision through in the face of no matter what obstacle. So at 5 years old, Bonnie had her leg amputated because of a congenital defect. She's an African-American woman who grew up in San Diego, and I had the enormous privilege of traveling back to the Shriners Hospital where her leg was amputated. The first time she'd gone back there since she was 5 years old to speak to the hospital staff and tell them her story. So as an African-American woman who lived in poverty, so that she attended this hospital where her surgery was donated, who suffered from incest, which in 2 weeks we're going to interview Bonnie live. I really encourage you to show up for that call. I'm sure it will be just amazing about how she used the power of the heart to overcome the trauma of sexual abuse and to live a phenomenal life with no excuse slowing her down. So after her leg was amputated, her mother still got her into the best schools. And when she was, I believe, in like late elementary or early junior high school, she went skiing for the first time. So you have an African-American woman with one leg living in a place where there's no snow, falling in love with skiing, of all things, to the degree that she pushed against every conceivable obstacle and became an Olympian. And she attended the 1980s Winter Olympics in Innsbruck, and was the first African-American woman to win medals at a Winter Olympics. But her story doesn't stop there. You see, so many of us look at people who attain incredible things like that and think, well, you know, they had luck. Bonnie is not a lucky woman. She had challenge after challenge after challenge. And even the day of her race, as she was coming down the slope, because she did the slalom and there were two, I should really let her tell her story. We'll hear this again in 2 weeks. But I just love this story so much, because when I lose hope about Fiera as a company, which, you know, it's my greatest joy to bring this to all of you, but as a startup, I'm only in my second year of Fiera, and it's hard to start a business. It's hard to get it off the ground. There are obstacles. There are roadblocks. The people who realize their dreams and visions just turn obstacles and roadblocks into a fun rock climbing expedition. That's the difference. They get up when they fall down. So Bonnie had two slaloms, because at that time they calculated your winning times based on the combination of two ski runs. And the first ski run Bonnie did, she came first in the world. She was blown away, and so she knew she was guaranteed a medal. All she had to do was make it down the second slalom evenly. She didn't have to pull any fancy tricks, nothing like that. So she did that exactly. She just focused, went down the hill the second run, feeling great, knew she was a winner. And within eyesight of the finish line, she hit an ice patch. And with only one leg, she didn't have another leg to balance herself on the ice. And she fell. So she went from feeling like a winner to feeling like she'd humiliated herself in front of the entire world. There's camera crews everywhere. And she told me that at that moment she laid in the snow and really wished she could just crawl into the snowbank and disappear. And then a voice in her said, "You have to finish the race." And I'd be inclined to say that was the voice of her heart. The voice of that dignity. The voice of that integrity that in all of us is trustworthy. Finish your race, not to be a winner, but because that's what the heart would do. So she got up and she finished the race, only to find out that every other skier that had gone down the hill that day hit that same patch of ice and fell. She won a silver medal on the slalom that she fell and got up. And what I love about this and what Bonnie chuckles about is if she hadn't had that moment of doubt, that moment of wanting to crawl in the snowbank, then she would have gotten the gold. Because she had the fastest time on the first run. Every skier has fallen. The only difference between her and the woman who won the gold was that the woman who won the gold got up faster. So wherever you are on your path of unfoldment of your heart's blueprint, your fulfillment, and your contribution to our world, your ability to bring that to fruition is not sourced in never falling. It's sourced in getting up more quickly when you do. So from your rocking chair test, I'd like you to write down just one thing. If you've got more, you can add more, but at least one thing that you've given up on yourself or in the world. One place where you've fallen and chosen to hide in the snowbank instead of get up. And allow this heart start to give you a fresh start. And refocus the attention on the area around your heart. what would you feel like? If you got up and finished the race and found out you won. There are so many areas in my life where my heart has given me this gift. With my business, when I found out that it lost money this last year, and I went through feeling like I had failed and I was going to give up, and then a friend said, oh my God, you only lost 10% of your gross in your second year? That's amazing! And you don't even have to pay business tax. Suddenly what looked like a failure was winning the race. Or with my appearance and my image, feeling so ugly and then having these incredibly dear friends called the Sirens come and help me get a new wardrobe and learn how to use makeup and suddenly discover, oh my God, you mean beauty is something you can create? It's not just some people have it and some people don't. Understanding that it's a choice, not a destiny or a sentence. In my relationships where I've given up hope with my brother, who for years we had a terrible conflict with each other, and yet then, boom, add the power of the heart, and suddenly all of that clears away, and what's left is this beautiful love and mutual respect and support. Where in your life have you given up? Where are you still sitting in the snowbank? Because it's not too late to get up. So just right now, allow your heart to send its pulse into that area of your life to give you a fresh start for this new year. And if your mind starts kicking in with, yeah, sure, or what if, or yeah, but, all the yeah, buts, just know the electrical impulse of your heart is 60 to 80 times more powerful than your brain. So it can squeak away all at once about, it can't happen, it'll never work. The heart is like a booming timpani drum over that voice. The heart's vascular system is 60,000 miles long. That means you, inside your little body, there are veins and arteries that travel 60,000 miles. You could wrap around the earth twice. Each time your heart beats, sends blood around the world 2 times. It knows how to go the distance for your vision and your dream. So right now, just focusing attention on the area around the heart, breathing as if the breath comes in through the heart and out through the heart. Just activate some quality of appreciation. Connect with something that you feel grateful for. And radiate that gratitude into this one place of resignation and despair or giving up. Knowing that the power of your heart can help you get up. I want to open up the call now. If anybody has questions or wants to share their own stories before we close for the night and send you off into a new year. And this new year has wonderful things in store at Fiera. We have a beginner webinar starting on January 8th, and for those who've already completed that course, by the way, the first night of the beginner webinar is free, so you can register for that by going to fiera.com, and there's a place on the homepage at the top where you can register for the free webinar on Tuesday the 8th. And if you're listening to this after the 8th, we do these free webinars every month, so check the website and you can register for that as well. And these Heart Start calls, you can also register to get reminders for those on the website, fyera.com. Or you can go to fyera.com/heartstart.html. And we have all of these Heart Start calls archived and recorded there. You can download those and listen to them for free. And if you've already been through the beginner webinar, we've got advanced courses also launching that week of January 7th and some wonderful retreats planned. My resignation about helping children and starving children in the world is so far removed now. We are bringing our first retreat down to Nicaragua to work with the street children there through the power of the heart in 2008. And so many more exciting and wonderful things to bring more heart to you. So if you have questions and you're listening to this as a recording and can't chime on at the moment, you can bring your questions to me directly by emailing me, Sheva, S like Sam, H, E like elephant, V like victory, A, at Sierra, FYERA.com. That's F like fantastic, YERA.com. Or you can call us at 310-581-1507. And that having been said, if you do want to ask a question or share a story, just make sure you start to unmute your phone.
Hi, it's Loetta.
Hey, Loetta.
All right, since nobody has spoken, I figured, okay, I'd like to set an intention for just being able to open, keep my heart open to love. I feel really resigned about it, and I feel really scared about it. I would really like to be able to come into 2008 with a glimpse of something.
No, Loetta, I'm so moved by your intention because another area of deep resignation for me was experiencing loving connections and loving relationships with people. I was, I think, mildly autistic when I was a kid, and I couldn't connect with people. And my mother used to say to me that no one would ever want to live with me because I was so difficult to be with. Mm. So I assumed my whole life would be that way and that I would always be alone. And I didn't even kiss a boy or have a boyfriend until I was 21 years old. And spent most of my life single and just disconnected from that whole type of human affection and connection of love. And as I deepened in the heart, that really started to turn around. And so I know that your intention can come to fruition. And you have my full support this year in keeping your heart open. And we should talk about getting you a scholarship if you need it into the FIERA webinars. You know, we have a foundation through FIERA where people can donate scholarship funds for people to who have various illnesses or soldiers returning from Iraq to go through our programs. So, Loetta, we should make sure that you participate in that in 2008 in support of your intent. I, my dearest friend of 12 years, we were on again, off again, lovers for so many years, and he always would threaten that he was going to come meet my parents, and he didn't do it and didn't do it, and he bought plane tickets and then would call me while I was at the airport saying, I'm not going to come. And I went into such a deep resignation about this, that I, the level of resignation that I hear in your voice, Loetta.
Yeah.
Went on for 12 years, so much so that finally when he didn't show up for my father's funeral, I exiled him from my life.
Mm-hmm. I'm in exile mode right now. I can relate.
You're in exile mode right now? Yeah, well, my heart and the rocking chair test wouldn't allow me to give up on him. Now, let me be clear about this, because if any of you are in an abusive relationship or anything like that, I'm not suggesting that the heart will never give up on someone outside of you. What the heart never gives up on is your fulfillment. It has nothing to do with people outside of you. But in this particular situation that I was in, because if he had been abusive, my heart would have had me out the door. So I just want to be clear about that. My heart would not allow me to give up. It rather than give up, my heart made me forgive and made me discover that the way I was contributing to this cycle of resignation was in my anger at his lack of follow through, instead of realizing that in those moments he needed my love and care and support. So I started going off on the high of being in my heart. You see, it's never about what other people do and whether they do or don't love us. Who are we being with them? That's the freedom from resignation, because our heart empowers us to be, as you said, Loetta, with your intention, to be open-hearted. That's our deep resignation, isn't it? That we won't remain with an open heart. And so, Loetta, I have something really fun to tell you.
I'm listening.
After all that resignation this Christmas, he actually flew and met my mom for the first time. Surprised us. So neutral is the first tool that we teach in the beginner workshop. And the steps to neutral are simply heart focus and heart breathing. You see, a Sierra feeling when you're where you are right now, Loetta, is so far away, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to go after that. All you need is the heart's neutrality, the blank slate of the heart that says, maybe? Maybe it's not. Maybe something's possible. So I thank you for your heart vulnerability and your heart's intent, your heart's desire for this year. A place of neutrality from a blank slate and a clean canvas. Anything is possible.
It's a struggle to keep that heart open, because, I mean, I'm dealing with the same man that I dealt with when I first went to your seminar, who's come back into my life, and now he's disappearing again. And so it's a challenge for me to stay open-hearted and not be resigned and cynical. And, you know, it's just, it's really scary to me. And painful.
So this is a place where neutral can come so in handy. As you say, he's cycled in and out of your life many times, right?
This is the second time he's, you know, I can't even say that he's cycling out. It's just how he's behaving is like the last cycle. You know what I mean? I'm recognizing mm-hmm. that same behavior and, you know, not communicating with me and me getting a text message that he's in Hawaii right now just doesn't work for me. So it's hard for me not to exile him, because that's literally where I'm at. I heard in your speaking, I heard him and possibly connecting with what you said about your guy and where he was and the pain he was in, or that he needed you the most at that time. And you know what? That probably has a bit of truth to it for Bert. And yet, you know, I'm just wanting to buckle down and not wanting to be open. I could try on neutrality, but I can try it on, maybe.
Yeah, well, let's just do it right now. So beautiful to have someone share with raw vulnerability and reality where they're at. Because that's the plug that the power tools of the heart plug into. That's where we access the power of the heart in our deep authenticity of where we're at. So right now, Aletta, if you just shift your focus of attention to the area around your heart. And allow the breath to come in through the area of the heart. And out through the area of the heart.
It feels peaceful. I feel safer than a moment ago. I don't necessarily include him in it, in my little sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just feeling like I need to take care of myself. But it feels safer just to sit there and just be with myself and kind of holding my heart.
Well, really, your hurt is because he's not being with you right now, right? And yet...
Just even communicating to me.
Right.
You know, I didn't know he was going.
And yet... You can be with you.
Yeah.
So the fallibility of other human beings betray us, but our own heart never will. So if you refocus your attention on the area around the heart and breathe in through the heart and out through the heart, and now just activate that sense of peace and safety. We would call those Sierra feelings, right? That sense of self-care. And then just ask your heart for its guidance right now. And listen to the first thing that comes to your mind. Don't edit. Just what is the first thing that springs into your mind?
Unfortunately, I hear my mother's voice right now. So struggling with that.
Hmm. You mean your mother's voice internally?
Yes.
Right. So this is what has to be neutralized, right? All of these things are thoughts and expectations about how other people should be and other people's voices in our heads, right? This stuff creates stress and creates static to being able to hear the heart signal. And so my invitation to you, Aletta, is to stay with and play with neutrality.
Okay.
Each time you go to neutral, it's like Alexander Graham Bell when he first invented the telephone. It wasn't like suddenly he took up the phone and have a conference call with people all over the world. Tell him what he did.
Yeah.
there was a lot of cable that had to get laid before what we're doing right now could happen. Well, each time you go to the heart and bring your attention there, you go to neutral, remember that even the heart is there with you. You're laying cable to its intelligence and rewiring some of the cable that's gone to old tape recordings of your parents' voices or this thing or that memory goes into the heart. And then it will have guidance for you when the time is right. So on, oh, thank you. You know, these heart calls, we always end the heart start with a desire to pay forward anything you've received. So for everyone listening, let's just take a moment to drop our attention into the heart. Breathing in through the air around the heart and out through the air around the heart. Radiating our compassion and our care to Luetta and our gratitude to her for her vulnerable realness with us, her authenticity. And then allowing that same compassion to extend to those places in yourself and you that have resigned, that are in struggle. And then allowing that compassion to extend out to people that you love or care about, that you see in pain or in struggle or resignation, giving them a fresh start. And my heart is particularly ignited on this New Year's Eve, what's happening in Pakistan, and their struggle and their resignation as a country. And I'd like to extend our compassion and pay this beautiful time together in the heart forward to them. And to anywhere and anyone else in the world that you would like to receive the power of your heart, because as you care, as you radiate your heart's love, your heart receives the nurturing of that, and it becomes a freeway or a water slide along which your full potential, your heart's blueprint, unfolds through your care for the world. And Luetta, as you gave us the example tonight, your care for yourself. May 2008 be a year filled with human caring. Thank you all so much for joining me tonight, and I look forward to next week.
Thank you very much.
Good night, everyone. And Luetta, be sure to contact me about a scholarship, okay?
I will. Thank you.
All right. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. Thank you so much, Sheva.
Happy New Year. Thank you so much. Bye.